Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy Radio Show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Here's our assignment. It is no use walking anywhere to preach unless our walking is our preaching. Egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate really wants us to believe that some moments matter and some don't. The preaching is important, but everything before and after that event isn't. How we are with intimates doesn't matter nearly as much as how we are with important strangers. In this way, ego can call the shots regardless of circumstances. When with others, we need to look to ego to tell us how we should be and what everything means. And when we're alone, we can go unconscious because this time doesn't count. We fall for that because we believe conditioning's assessments of life. As soon as we realize it's possible to wake up and end suffering in this very lifetime, we realize there's not a moment to waste. Today, notice the times in your day you've been conditioned to believe don't count. Record and listen. Shall I bring on our first caller, Sherry?
Yes, please.
First caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Ren from South Florida.
Well, hello. Long time no see.
I know. This is my day three back from the There's Nothing Wrong With You workshop retreat. And on a scale of 1 to 5 stars, I give it 5,000 stars.
Oh, very good. So the transition, the reentry has not been all egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate would have hoped for itself. It's going well for you instead.
Yes, and this today's assignment, the one we're talking about today, is so perfect because it just speaks to, my experience with the reentry. So many things that I could share, but this one I think is a pretty good one. So right after the retreat, it was too far because I live in Florida, so I had to stay at a hotel. And so I was tired and I went out to dinner. I happened to step in some dog poop, little known to me. I track it all the way up to my hotel room. So then I take, so you know it's coming, right? So I take a shower and I get in the comfy towels and I'm like, oh, wow, I really appreciate the air condition and everything like that. And then I look down and I'm like, what is that? And then I just laughed out loud and I said, conditioning, I get the joke, you know? I get what you're trying to say. It's not going to work. Uh-huh. And the whole time, like, I had to wait on the plane, on the tarmac, and the shuttle to the airport. Like, it was circling back around to pick up people who were late. And I heard a lot of people going, like, and I was, like, practically giddy because I was noticing things like, on the radio, there was a little song that said, people stay just a little bit longer. And I was like, oh, this is perfect. I love this moment. And I have nothing but just pure gratitude. And when Sherry says you've got to get there, you've got to get there. Because knowing it in your head is one thing, but knowing it in your heart is like a completely different thing. And I'm just so, so grateful.
Oh, I'm really happy for you. Really happy for you. And when we get to the point where we see the dog poop of life as a joke, as something that we can either take very personally, get upset over, or we can see that, wow, this is an opportunity to see the big picture and to let go into all the goodness and into the air conditioning of life, right?
And yes.
It's a game changer, isn't it? When we talk about, yes, when we talk about the realization that we can wake up and end suffering in this very lifetime, that's it, isn't it? And once we know
yes.
that we can do it, right, and that it's a moment-by-moment process, that it's something that we can choose in each moment, life is true.
And I didn't really know it before. Like, I know it now.
Yeah.
And, of course,
yeah.
I know conditioning is going to come in, but
ooh,
I can yeah. recall that I've done it before. And so I was telling my cousin this story, and he said, well, that must be a pretty good retreat if it can make you happy after you step in a dog poop. I said, it was.
It was, sweetie. Someday maybe you'd like to do it too.
Yes.
That's great. Thank you so,
so
much.
So thank you
friend.
So much. Have a wonderful day.
All right. You too. I know you will. So, yes.
All yes.
Right.
Thanks, bye-bye. The glow of the after retreat, it's just
mm-hmm.
wonderful, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, it is. And to know, again, that we can keep that going through a lifetime.
Yeah.
That we
yeah.
can continue to come back to that perspective regardless of what egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate wants to present for us. We can
yeah.
make that as a conscious choice because we know how to do it.
Yes, I think it is the most miraculous thing in the world to know how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, shall we hear from our next caller, Sherry?
Yes, please.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Hello? Next caller? Okay. Moving on.
Maybe not.
Mm-hmm. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Judy.
Well, hello, Judy.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm well. So what I saw with the assignment was the moments such as walking to the bus stop or walking to the garage, times for getting to something, the space and time between,
mm-hmm.
it is, I hear a story that that's an unimportant time.
Uh-huh.
Like
there's
the
nothing
walk,
going
like the
on,
walk
is there?
To, just fall asleep. The time walking
yeah.
to the bus stop is just, yeah, yeah. Not important.
When we say it's unimportant, that would flag us. But it does fit into some category that we don't explore of this doesn't really matter. I don't need to be here for this. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I get to work,
mm-hmm.
I certainly need to be there for that. But
right.
getting there, I don't need to be there for those moments. Oh, my God. It just, we can see when we frame it that way how much of our lives are taken away from us. Because it's
mm-hmm.
not like in that time that doesn't matter, I'm enjoying myself, right?
Mm-hmm.
Probably
mm-hmm.
I'm just gone, lost in conditioned mind somewhere and in a conversation that maintains ego. And I'm
yep.
not even particularly aware of it. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, that was really great to see. Wow.
Yes. Because all of that stuff, yeah, all of your life that you get to have, your body is walking, your feet are on the earth, probably on concrete, but the earth. And,
mm-hmm.
There's nature around you, even in a city. There's a lot of nature around. There's a ton of life to be engaged with and involved with and
mm-hmm.
having as a workshop if we're present.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we could be
great.
Walking along saying, thank you. I love you.
Yeah.
To everything that we encounter. You know, and just by the time you get to that bus, you know, you're just grinning at everybody and on top of the world, right? You get to work,
right,
and you're a blessing for everybody. Or, mm-hmm. you know, we go
yeah.
the way we usually go, which is, oh, God, and then today, and I've got to do that, and, oh, my,
mm-hmm.
I can't, I wish, if and maybe, you know, all of that stuff that
mm-hmm.
we all know so
mm-hmm.
well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
All right.
Thank you.
So now all those transition times are going to be
mm-hmm.
workshops, right? They're going to be...
Mm-hmm.
Right? Times when I can really be present and watch projection and see what the connections are between the sensations in the body and the unconscious emotions that get stirred up that now I can be present to and let go.
Mm-hmm.
They'll
wow.
become the best part of the day.
Yeah, really? Who cares about the other stuff? No.
That's
yeah.
right.
Neat.
That's yeah. Well, in mm-hmm. fact, oh, I'm going to go to work. All right. Well, I need to try to be as present there. So that's as much of a workshop as these
mm-hmm.
delightful workshops I'm having, getting to and from work and to and from lunch and, you know, all
mm-hmm.
of those other things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. Great
all
exercise.
Right.
Love it.
Yeah. Thank you, Judy. Have
Thank
fun.
You. Thanks, Judy. I just love that. Love that every moment is a moment that is valuable.
Yes.
There's nothing that is anything less or more. I mean, to me, the fun part of that assignment and what Judy was talking about is recognizing the process that trivializes and letting it go.
Exactly. Well stated, beautifully stated. That summarizes it. Recognizing the process that trivializes and letting go that process so we can really be present to the gift that every moment of life is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 All right. We have a couple more callers here, Sherry. Hang on 1 second. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Kate from Seattle.
Well, hello, Kate.
Hello. I hope it's not too loud where I am. I'm trying to walk away from some noise, but
not at all.
Good. Well, I'm loving this conversation and this assignment this morning because it's really funny. I listened to the show yesterday in a place where I wasn't able to talk, so I just listened quietly. And when I heard the assignment, these light bulbs started going off, and I was thinking, this is such a great assignment. I'm seeing so much. And when I went to actually do the assignment, I did the wrong assignment, and I didn't even realize it until Ashwini read it this morning. And I was like, oh, my gosh, there was so much to see there. So I'm having fun just hearing what others have seen and kind of having the thoughts come back, because that's a huge place where conditioning, I think, you know, really comes in for me, is this idea that it needs went from these workshops, and I see that it's conditioning that needs a break, but then the breaks happen when I'm alone, and that's sort of where I get swept up into, you know, this time seems to matter less, and
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's been fantastic to see that, because it's how, like, what you have, the way you're spending sort of your moments of recharging might not be very recharging if that's what's happening.
Yes, exactly. You want to make sure who's getting recharged, right? And
right.
for most people, those downtimes are recharge times for ego. So, and I,
yes.
you know, I can just go unconscious and sit around and stare blankly at that television set, and conditioned mind is just, and there's, and this, and this, and this, and don't forget that time when you were 22, and then it's never going to end. Just, oh, yeah, and see, everybody else is having a good life, but you're not, and why won't I ever have that sort of romance in my, and what, yeah? And then we get up from that recharging time, and we feel terrible. Because part of that, for most of us, when we're lost in that kind of conditioning, is I'm going to drink too much of the wrong thing. I'm going to eat too much of the wrong thing. I'm going to not do the things that take care of me. So it's a whole program for ego maintenance, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Framed as, yeah. Oh, this will really take care of me. You know, it's been such a long, hard week. What I need now is to... Mm-hmm.
Well, and it just, it continues to show up in different ways. You know, it's just a tiny bit different, and then it sort of feels different, and you get, you know, and
Can you say more about that, Kate? Because that's important. That's important. Do you have a specific or...
Well, I guess I was recently on retreat at the monastery, and I was looking at a process that basically is this process. And to have been back for a few weeks now and have those, it's kind of, now it's taking the shape for me with, now that I'm back, I'm quite, I got a little behind, or a fair bit behind, and so the resting has a different flavor than it did before I left. So now it's about, like, the story shifted a little bit because you took this time off and you had this long vacation, and now there's so much to do, and then it's summer and you have people visiting and there's less time for practice. So these resting opportunities feel a little different than before I went on retreat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so my way of kidding about that is, you know, I've had some really bad relationships in my life, but they were all with blondes, right? And this person is completely different, a redhead.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So
yes.
We get fooled by that kind of superficial change in the story and fail to see that, yeah, but right below that, it's going for the same thing. It doesn't matter how it lays out why this, well, because you were on vacation and at that time, and now you're behind in summer, and you know, it's got all this story. But the underlying is, and you're going to get talked into abandoning yourself and letting conditioning run the show. That's what it's always going for with all of us. Abandon yourself, let me take over, and suck the energy out of your life.
Yes, and there's that moment in that feels really painful, because there's a part that's seeing that I'm being abandoned, or, you know, that I'm being talked out of it. And
and
just seeing it feels like it's happening in sort of slow motion, but it's still happening.
Yes. Yeah. And it does. And it will, right? It happens over and over and over to us until we no longer buy it. Until it doesn't matter. I'm in this case, you know, I'm not abandoning her. I don't care. You know, if the world comes to an end, we're going to be together at the end, because there is nothing that I am going to abandon that human being for. Nothing.
Yeah, and that is a beautiful place to be and to know.
Yes, and you do know it, don't you?
Yes. Yes.
I think that that's what makes it. It's not that it wasn't painful before to abandon oneself, or to be abandoned and not know that there's a choice, or however we want to talk about that. But when we know what's possible for us, and we still fall for the bamboozles, we know how painful it is. And, of course, that's what causes us to recommit. You know, just redouble those efforts. No, I know I got conned, but I'm back. I'm going to do everything I can to choose unconditional love in this moment because there is this wonderful human being who suffers when I don't.
Yes. And this, all these practice opportunities that are there for us each day, and it's so helpful because you might not feel like you show up, and then the shift begins to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Even if I got sucked in.
Right, exactly, and that's where it begins to. We begin to sense the Gary Zukav. 10% of you makes a choice. 90% of the universe gets behind it. And once we make that choice for practice to save the human being, we can start to feel the support. Right. So all I have to do is get there. Right. Just show up. And I know the magic will happen. I just have to keep breathing and being here, and it's going to happen. It's happening. It's happening.
Yes, it's happening.
Glorious.
So, thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you, Kate.
Okay. Take care. Thank you, Ashwini.
You too.
Hey, thanks, Kate. You know, something you said really struck me, Sherry, that we show up and the transformation happens. And so even in those moments where it feels like conditioning is gaining the upper hand, it isn't, because we're showing up.
That's right.
So it's, in other words, you can either, we tend to experience conditioning's interpretation of the moment even while we're transforming into choosing to be here and be with that person who is having a hard time, or be with that human being.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's that image that I love of the hand just kind of hovering near the small of the back, just ready to, it's definitely not pushing you, but there just to kind of indicate in that direction, And we get to have the experience. It's this is not going to happen in spite of us. This is for us. So we get to experience every step along the path, and we are divinely guided.
Looks like we have time for another caller, Sherry, so I'm going to try to listen to you. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Well, hello. This is Kim calling from Vashon Island, and I'm jolted awake on the queue again in the queue workshop.
The queue workshop. And speaking of that, Kim, I want to remind everybody that we need another one of those jolts, right? Because people are getting on the calls and not getting in the queue, and it takes it to a whole different level, doesn't it? When we
get in the queue. Yes. It does, and it's great. And, I was kind of just like, oh, I'm not going to get on today, and then, here I am. So here's what I've been seeing as I've been paddling happily around my island. I had a huge transformation with karma, with thinking about karma. And I don't know what happened, but it was sort of this, oh, wow, okay, I'm ready to face this karma bull, and I'm ready for the karma barbecue. It's July. Let's have a karma barbecue, right? And it's sort of transform, instead of the fear kind of melted away when I changed my perception of these things that are coming in. And something happened the other day that there's a whole karma around secrets in my family, and something came in where a secret was going to be exposed, and I was like, oh my god, shutting down. And then I was like, you know what, I'm ready for the karma barbecue with this with this issue. So bring it on. And it's just huge. It's a huge transformation.
Yes, it is, Kim. Yes, it is. It is the hugest. And the way we'll often talk about that is we spend our whole lives being prey, right? People are running and hiding from egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. If I get small enough, if I'm timid enough, if I, then maybe the voices will leave me alone and I won't get beaten up and I won't be frightened. And you, what happened, what you're describing is, no. I'm going after that stuff. I'm going to be the hunter from now on.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
It's powerful, isn't it?
It is so exciting. It is. And it's like the fear melts away in that moment, too, because I'm like, well, but this is for me, as you were just saying. This is not to me. This is for me. This is happening for me. And that transformation just shifts. It's so tiny, but it's gigantic.
Yes, it is. And the reason that the fear melted away is that you stopped identifying with a fear of fear. And the only thing that was holding that fear in place is that you were afraid of fear. And when you stepped across that line and said, no, I don't want to be afraid of this stuff any longer, what happened is there was nothing left to hold the fear in place. And it just dissolved. Like, is it the Wicked Witch of the West? I'm melting. And then you got the barbecue going.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just, it's fascinating now because now, like I say, I'm facing down the karmic. It feels like a bowl sometimes, and then it feels like a beautiful opportunity. You know, it's both things.
Oh, yes. Yes. Exactly. If you're looking at it through ego, through the eyes of fear, then it is this big, terrifying thing that could kill you. And as soon as you look at it from a perspective of it's possible to end suffering, then this is just a giant gift. And there's no fear of it at all. Let's just take it apart so that all the component pieces are available. Then we can build something great out of them. Oh, like presents.
Yeah, well, there's that.
Uh-huh.
So thank you so much. I don't want us to go over time, but I'm just so thrilled and excited and moving through the molecules, you know, each moment. So
Oh, it's the best. Thank you for that.
Thank you, Srini. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you. All right.
Paddle happy.
Paddle to the barbecue.
All right.
Bye-bye. I love that we're adding to our vocabulary, Sherry. Paddle, happy, karma, nippers, karma, barbecue. Oh, my.
And it, as Kim pointed out, it's summer. So we need these nice summer images for us. Yeah.
We are 2 minutes away from the end of the show, Sherry. Should we try to squeeze in another caller?
I'm there with not going over time if we can help it. So let's get our assignment.
In about the same degree as you are helpful, you will be happy. Why do so many people who look into these things tell us that those who are devoted to assisting others are happier than those who aren't? Practice offers an explanation. We will do for the love of others what we would never be willing to do for ourselves. And we have all those other sayings such as, the more you give, the more you get, and what we do is what we have. When attention is focused on the tunnel vision, I mean my world of ego, our hearts are closed. In that self-centered orientation, no one needs assistance as much as I do. When we're present, not separate, we see everyone as ourselves and realize giving is receiving. Today, selfishly grab some of the happy for yourself as you practice giving and receiving as one.
You know, when you said that, it's like everything we do, if we acknowledge that this is for us,
mm-hmm.
right? This is for us. Mm-hmm. It's every act that is for us. And so which is true, whether we know it or not. And so to acknowledge it in that way really you know, ups our desire to choose compassion and loving kindness because it's for us.
Yes. Well, you know, when you say it that way, what dropped in around the reason why we don't do things for me is that the me that we don't want to do things for is the self that's hated. It's like, mm-hmm. it's just one of those weird things you can't get your head around. Of course, we don't want to do it for ego, but we would do for love, for anyone, including this aspect of life, which we can only love when we're not me.
Yes. Yes. You know, that kind of thing is what makes Zen so fun.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And as soon as you get there and see it,
it doesn't make any sense.
Right. But as soon as you have the experience, you go, oh, yeah, that's right. That's how it. Hmm?
Yeah.
All right. Well, off to giving and receiving, huh?
Yes. Thank you very much, Sherry. See you tomorrow.
Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
Take care, everybody.